Well, welcome to Hope Chapel. Those of you that are here, those of you that are watching on live stream, we're grateful that you're here with us today. The Lord gave me a message that I'm hoping will really touch your hearts and minister to you today. Before we get into the message, I wanted to reflect on something that the Lord brought to my heart as I was preparing this message, and it comes out of Mark chapter 5. If you know the story of what happened in this particular scripture, in this particular chapter, in chapter 4, Jesus is ministering to the people. He's standing in a boat in the Sea of Galilee on the west side of the Jordan in the Promised Land. He's speaking to the Jews in the Promised Land, and he's sharing with them parables, things that that only those who could see and hear through the Spirit of God could understand. And he was telling these various parables, and at the end of this, the disciples get in the boat and they go with him and they sail across to the eastern side of the Jordan, the other side of the Jordan. Remember, the western side was the Promised Land that God had given to the Israelites. So they go over to the other side, and one of the interesting things that happen is they find themselves in a cemetery. And in that cemetery is a man who is full of demons. And the demon-possessed man screams out, "What do you want?" screamed the demons. They were inside of him. Well, Jesus wanted what he always wanted. He wanted the man back. Jesus cast the demons into the body of the pigs. There were several thousand pigs right there, and they ran into the sea and they drowned. You guys know that story, right? And the man was healed, and when the people of Gadara, which is the region that Jesus was in at the time on the eastern side of the Jordan, when the people of Gadara heard this report, they were afraid and told Jesus to leave Gadara. But the man who had been demon-possessed spread the news of his healing in Decapolis. But this leads us to some really puzzling questions. So I kind of chewed on this a little bit. I want to share these questions with you, and then I'm going to go into the message, and hopefully we'll get some answers. So first of all, why on the edge of the Sea of Galilee was there a thriving pig industry? Remember, pigs were forbidden by the law of God. And why does this man go to Decapolis, a Greek city? Jesus was there to minister to the Jews. Of the 10 Greek cities comprising Decapolis, why were 9 on the eastern side of the Jordan, the Gadarene side of the Jordan, and only one was on the western side in the Promised Land? And then finally, why did the people of Gadara tell Jesus to go back to the west side of the Jordan from where he came? So hopefully we can find these answers out as we turn to Numbers chapter 32. So if you have your Bibles with you, does anybody here need a Bible? We have some extras. Raise your hand if you need a Bible. Okay, if not, and if you have your phone, naturally, a lot of us have electronic Bibles as well. Please turn to Numbers chapter 32. I'm going to start reading verses 1 through 5 here. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a great multitude of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock. And we're talking about sheep and cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Elealeh, Shebon, Nebo, and Beon, the country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel, is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. Therefore they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. The first thing in your notes here, love of the Lord can cause us to miss the move of God. You see, they wanted to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan. They didn't want to go into the Promised Land. God had promised them the land west of the Jordan. But Reuben, the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half a tribe of Manasseh said, no, we like it here. This is good. We don't want to cross over into the Promised Land. We like the east side of the Jordan. We have cattle and there's lots of grass. This is a great place for business. There's economic prosperity over here. Why would we want to go? We don't want to press in further or go deeper. We want to stay where we are. You ever been there? Sometimes God begins to move and you just don't want to go. Your feet are stuck. They were drawn by the lust of their eyes at what they saw was good. They looked around them and said, hey, this is great. Look at all of this grass out here. We have cattle. This is great for grazing. This is a route for trade. This is a great place for us to be. The tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad is where the name Gadara comes from. That region was called Gadara, the Gadarenes. So it was originally established by the tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad and the half a tribe of Manasseh. I don't know why they didn't get their name stuck in there. But it was Reuben and Gad, and that's where Gadara comes from. Can we pull up the slide of the map? I don't know if it shows. Okay, I don't know if you can see this very well, but you notice that this is the east side, okay? This is the east side of the Jordan. That's why people come to California, because we're in the promised land. We're on the west side, right? No. So you can see Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh are on the east side of the Jordan. That was not the promised land. God promised them the land west of the Jordan. And they decided to stay over on that side of the Jordan, the east side of the Jordan. They weren't willing to cross over. So the love of the world can cause us to miss the move of God. You see, God had a plan. And that plan was to move them into the promised land, all 12 tribes. And yet, these 2.5 tribes says, no, we like it here. We like it on the east side of the Jordan. Let's read on Numbers chapter 6 through 9. And Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the hearts of the children of Israel, so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So you remember when they came to the Jordan and God says, look, God didn't say this, but Moses said, let's go send 12 spies. And there's a whole theological thing there, whether God actually wanted the spies to go forward. Moses sent 12 spies into the land. They all came back. And 10 of the spies says, oh, it's scary over there. There's lots of obstacles. There's big giants. This is a dangerous place to go. We don't think we should go into the promised land that God has promised us. Then Caleb and Joshua were the only two that said, no, God promised this. We're going to go in faith and we're going to conquer this land. Unfortunately, missing the move of God affects us and those around us. See, he's not saying, it's not just you. Life does not revolve just around you, 2.5 tribes. It affects everybody. Just like those 10 spies that came back, they discouraged all of the tribes. The people were afraid by what they heard. They didn't listen to the two that came back, bold and courageous and willing to take on the obstacles. And unfortunately, fortunately for Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two that were able to cross over into the promised land. God smote, got rid of all the others in that next 40 years of their journey. You know, sometimes when we're in our church setting like this, we look at others who have been walking with the Lord a long time. And you know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's that charge to us to say, look at those who are role models in the body of Christ and watch them as they journey and be like them as they follow Christ. Now that's the key, as long as they're following Christ, right? And unfortunately, sometimes we begin to say or think to ourselves, well, I don't see him or her pressing into the things of God, so I guess it's okay for me to kick back. After all, they've been around longer than I have, and if they don't want to go any further, why should I? Doesn't that happen sometimes? Sometimes we find that we're just not willing to follow. We see others who are just laid back, kicking back, say, oh, life is good. We'll just hang here with these guys. If you want to press on with the things of the Lord and go deeper and further with him, there's a sure way to discourage that desire. Start hanging around believers who are content with where they are and who don't want to press on with the Lord. You see, complacency is contagious. Complacency is contagious. It's easy to find that groove and say, I'm just going to hang here. Everything's good. I don't want to go any deeper into the things of the Lord because I think everything is fine here. And unfortunately, we miss those great blessings of the promised land that God has for each and every one of us, individually and corporately as a church. Lori and I are from Hawaii, and I remember years ago we were attending a church, wonderful church, spirit-filled, godly church. People loved the Lord, loved each other. Unfortunately, this church was in the middle of a neighborhood, and it was restricted in its ability to grow. We had a pastor come in, and he shared with us a word from the Lord, and the word from the Lord was that we needed to get out of that neighborhood, that we need to move to another location, and we actually had opportunities to move at that time. But for whatever reason, the majority of people said, no, we're good here. We're not going to do this. This is too much work. This is too hard for us. We have to raise money. We have too many obstacles ahead of us. Hawaii is an expensive place. Lands is expensive. This is a lot of work. And unfortunately, over the years, the next few years, that church ended up closing down. It ended up splintering into other churches. Thank God that God had another plan with the people in that church. And they grew some other churches out of that. But that church no longer exists in that place because the people were not willing to move on in the things of the Lord. And it was sad for us because it was a place where people would come into the church and, you know, you had your seat. You had the seat that you sat in all the time. You had your family row, you know. Same people always stood up and prophesied. And when it was comfortable, it was a good thing. You could trust people. But the reality was there was just a large group of people in that church who were not willing to follow a move of God. You will become like those who saw the challenges of entering the promised land instead of the blessings of God. You know, sometimes there are people who see only the obstacles in life. They only see the obstacles. They don't follow after the promises of God because the obstacles are easy to spot. Right? You ever been with somebody and you bring up an idea and they're the naysayers right away. They're jumping right on that naysayer bandwagon. Oh, no, you can't do that because this and that's going to happen. And you've got this problem over here. What about your money, your resources? What about your family? What about all your friends? What about everything that's going on in your life? And, man, it just deflates you quickly, doesn't it? Particularly when you come, you're excited. Man, that's a great idea. The Lord gave me this idea. Yeah, I don't know about the Lord. I'm sure if he gave that idea to you. And it's just deflating. It's discouraging. And so Moses was telling them that, look, your attitude affects those around you as well. You're going to discourage others by that attitude. Let's go on to verse 10. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Wholly followed me. Are we following God wholly with our hearts? Or is it just kind of a casual relationship? Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So the Lord's anger was roused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And look, you have risen in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel. For if you turn away from following him, he will once again leave them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. See, he's talking to Reuben, Gad, and the half a tribe of Manasseh. Don't do this again. You saw what happened when the tribes were not willing to follow God, when they weren't willing to trust God. He says, don't do this again. If you turn away from following him, he will once again leave them in the wilderness and you will destroy all these people. Then they came near to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our livestock and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the children of Israel until we have brought them to their place, and our little ones will dwell in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the children of Israel has received his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this eastern side of the Jordan. You see, they wanted to settle on something less than the Lord had for them. They were willing to do that. And then Moses said to them, if you do this thing, if you arm yourselves before the Lord of the war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you may return and be blameless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do what has proceeded out of your mouth. You see, Moses told them, look, guys, you can't just settle on the eastern side of the Jordan and not help your brethren out. Because God has told them, we're going to go into the promised land. We got to conquer the promised land. We got work ahead of us. We need you to come along. And so Reuben, Gad, and the half a tribe of Manasseh said, yeah, okay, we're willing to do that. We'll set up ourselves here, but then we will go ahead and we will fight the fight. We'll fight the battles. And when everybody is settled, all the tribes have taken the land that God has given them, then we'll come back. And Moses says, okay, I think that's okay with the Lord. But if you don't do that, recognize that that is a sin against God. And you'll have to deal with the consequences of that. You see, missing the move of God limits our faith, our commitment, and the blessings of God. Their reaction was like those who say, if there's something to do, I'll step in and do my best to help those who want to press in and move on. But don't expect me to actually live in that territory. That requires faith and commitment. After all, my home is in Gadara. Why do I need to do that? Now, this is different than, you know, when you see somebody going to Uganda or something as a missionary, and you say, well, I'm willing to give some finances, but God hasn't called me to go there. Well, we know that. There are people that are called to do things like that. There are the people who are called to be a support and have other ministries that the Lord has for them in a local or regional area. So this is different than that. But sometimes there are times when you know God has called you to do something, and you see somebody else doing it, and you say, well, I can come alongside them. That's good enough. But the reality is God has maybe called you to do something as well, to participate in that at a greater degree. You see, God will never take us one step further in our spiritual life than we are willing to go. God will never take us one step further in our spiritual life than we are willing to go. I don't know about you, but over the years that I've been walking with the Lord, I have watched people with great potential, with great anointing, with great faith, great calling. And for whatever reason, they just stop in their spiritual development, in their spiritual growth. It's kind of like that show Arrested Development, you know, with, who's the guy? Two and a Half Men. Huh? Yeah, Charlie Sheen. They stopped in their spiritual development. They wouldn't go any farther. They couldn't go any farther. They just chose to say, hey, this is good enough. My life is good enough. I don't need all that wonderful stuff that God has for you guys. And it's sad because you think, gee, what incredible things God had done, could have done through them and in their lives if they had just been willing to walk the walk and to go deeper in him. God will never take us one step further in our spiritual life than we are willing to go. You know, my wife and I recently went through a situation like this, and about a year and a half ago, a lot of you know that we moved from beautiful Huntington Beach, incredible Huntington Beach, where the sun and the sand and the surf and everything, and you guys are here. And we moved to San Dimas, 909 territory. And it was a difficult transition because, quite frankly, I dug my heels in. My wife was ready to go. She's always willing to follow the Lord, but I dug my heels in. And I kept asking God, God, is this really you? You're calling us to go to our denominational college? How can you do that? This is my promised land. Everything's wonderful here. There's grass. I've got places to graze my cattle. And the Lord had to make me know that this was part of his plan. Now, a year and a half later, I see God's wisdom in this because I'm realizing now that had we not made the decision to go there and to live there, that we would miss the move of God that he is doing there. There's some incredible stuff he's doing. It's not easy. We're fighting battles, just like the children of Israel when they went into the promised land. They had to fight battles, and we're fighting some battles. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has called us there. And at first service, one of the brothers came up to me and said, hey, when are you guys moving back? I said, as soon as possible. But not until the Lord allows us or directs us, because we live by prophetic assignment, just like you do. We go where God's called us to go. We do what God's called us to do, and we continue to trust God. But it's not easy sometimes. It's not easy. God has made promises to Lori and I, and some of these promises have yet to be fulfilled, but we're continuing to believe and trust that his path is better than anything we could have done on our own. Because I don't know about you, but I tried to live my life on my own. And boy, did I mess it up. And it was only when I gave my life to the Lord that he began to reshape me and remold me and build me and take me down a path that I realized, okay, this makes sense now, because my life didn't make sense prior to that. So let's go to verse 25. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke to Moses, saying, your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our livestock will be there in the cities of Gilead. But your servants will cross over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, just as my Lord says. So Moses gave command concerning them to Eleazar the priest, and to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben cross over the Jordan with you, every man armed for battle before the Lord, and the land is subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead as a possession. But if they do not cross over armed with you, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. Then the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord has said to your servants, so we will do. We will cross over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, but the possession of our inheritance shall remain with us on this side of the Jordan. So Moses gave the children of Gad to the children of Reuben and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Shihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with its cities within the borders, the cities of the surrounding country. You see, missing the move of God has long-term implications. Long-term implications. Why don't we go ahead and have the worship team come up while I'm finishing this off. But in the ensuing warfare, those who didn't go, those who stayed on the east side of the Jordan, were picked off first by the Syrians and Assyrians. Most of them were killed in the battles. So when we don't follow the Lord, we don't follow a move of God, oftentimes we find ourselves in those situations where we're losing everything, and it's a struggle. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh visited the promised land, but never lived in it. Never lived in it. You know, sometimes we see somebody living in their promised land, and we go hang with them a little bit, and we think, Lord, why am I not in my promised land? Sometimes it's because we held back. We weren't willing to go deeper into the things of the Lord. That doesn't mean that you can't change your mind and start to step forward. God will redeem that time. In Joshua 22, we see the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They built an altar. Well, the other tribes questioned them and said, hey, there's only one altar here, and it's in the tabernacle, and the tabernacle's on the west side of the Jordan in the promised land. Well, Reuben and Gad told them, well, this is for future generations so that they know that we're linked to you. Unfortunately, it brought suspicion and division between those who followed the move of God and those who refused to. I want to go back to those questions that I brought up in the beginning. So why on the edge of the Sea of Galilee was there a thriving pig industry? After all, pigs were forbidden by the law of God. Why does this man go to Decapolis, a Greek city? And of the 10 Greek cities comprising Decapolis, why were 9 on the east side, the Gadarene side of the Jordan, and only 1 on the west side? Then finally, why did the people of Gadara tell Jesus to go back to the west side of the Jordan from where he came from? Well, first of all, they had come to fear and reject God. The land of the Gadarenes was inhabited by the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh was eventually filled with pigs, demons, and pagan Greek culture. See, when we don't go deeper into the things of the Lord, when we're not willing to follow the move of God, we find ourselves back in the world, and it's a strong pull. It's a strong pull. Whether you do it individually or corporately, it's going to have an impact on every single one of us in some way or fashion. There are three takeaways that I want to share with you. One, don't settle on anything less than the best of what God has for you. Don't settle on anything less than the best of what God has for you. Number two, His promised land is better than anything you can see right now. Things may look wonderful right now, but I can tell you His promised land is way better than this. And number three, trust that He will bring about all that He has promised you. Trust that He will bring about all that He has promised you. Not some of what He's promised you, not a few things, but all of what He has promised you. This has such impact on me personally, and I think it has an impact on each of us in this congregation. We each have a promised land individually, and we have one corporately as a local church. And God is calling us to do some things in the future, and I believe that the Lord wants us to get on board, to go in deeper into Him, to follow the move of God as we watch, as we see the Lord opening paths for us. I'd like to go ahead and have some prayer partners come up for the altar prayer. So before we close, I wanted to have you feel the freedom to come up and just share something that's on your heart with one of your prayer partners. And this is a safe place. This is your local church. This is our church family. So if you have a need, please come up and have someone pray for you. Preferably men with men, women with women, because quite frankly, men, we don't understand women. And they may ask us to pray one way, and we just don't get it, so that's okay.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.